Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Well, well.
Malcolm X.
Black power in it.
Yes,
sir. It's the return of the crown royal.
Khalid Muhammad.
King. Running.
Run up in the party, say she come check out this. Two up in the party, say they run it, come quicker. Black to me old style, revolutionista. Cracker man, labor life, black terrorist. Come party people and raise your black pistol. Raise up your gunman, raise up lyrics. King Samir still a mic champion in a dista. Tell the pussy damn me a insurrectionist. Rising on the morning, getting physically bitter. Study up me lesson, cook the food, roll me slipper. We the people. Them a come from a slave ship. Hot pun me case, central intelligence. When me find Babylon, man, come take a whipper. Shut up the clan, black liberationist. Fire them Uncle Tom integrationist. Pick up all the people in my indigenous.
They want freedom. Black man, we up his channel. Freedom. Black queen, raise your gun. No freedom. Educate the youth and now we all get united. No money, gun, Babylon for damn freedom. Black man, we up his channel. Freedom. Black woman, raise your gun of freedom. Educate the youth and now we all can unite. No man, it's on Babylon.
Born and raised on a slave ship, victim of America. Miseducated nigga, slave in Philadelphia. Be the city of white brotherly love. Take the nation of kings and queens and set it black like it was. Still rebellious on the auction block. About to get castrated. Talk about killing cops. Now the black man for hating. Wipe your blood with your mouth. Turn your pigs into bacon. Zulu stopping crackers. Why you faggot niggas? Steps are faking. Fire from me blazing, half weeded, half amazing. Put fire to the Dutch and the wicked Caucasian. World bank justification, false item miseducation. Black tax for stimulation while the earth is in rotation. God must teach my nation about the genocide we're facing. We murder with no tracing, them can see the weed no wasting. Jamaicans fighting Haitian, in bed with nasty nation. I'm talking about them dirty motherfucking Caucasian. Black woman, whitey taking, black man scared and shaking. While I be cracker hating, homo thug be masturbating. Who the fuck you think you faking? It's your soul, these devils taking.
Come again, watch me now, man.
Of the black messiah, the
black power. Gay nigga Hoover can't stop you, baby. Cause
me want freedom. Black man, we up inside, no freedom. Black queen, raise your gun, no freedom. Educate the youth and now we all can unite. No money, gun, Babylon, we want freedom. Black man, we up inside, no freedom. Black woman, raise your gun, no freedom. Now we all can unite, no money, gun, Babylon.
I'm a hothead, real hothead, full of lock dreads. New Black Panther Party, humping like the spot red with hot lead. Scoping local pigs and the feds. King Samir be the chairman, now devils are the dead. Cursing niggas shedding tears with massive bloodshed. Love the hanging white bitch, buy a new sort of thread. Cause the code of the hood, killing form up again. I get a kick, beating the shit out of crackers named Ted. Love Joe at Virginia Tech, shot crackers in the neck. Bang for freedom and disrespect, man, hustling on the bed. Forget idiots, a Democrat, no kill your kids if you let BPGs beat my set. BPGs beating my death. Murder four devils or a pin on lapel. Wear four gold bars and I'm the East Regional. Bill Marshall or the blackest, not the slackest in crowd. Like James Brown, I say it loud, I hate whitey and proud. For damn
freedom, black man take a side, no freedom. Black queen raise
know freedom. Educate the youth, I know we all can unite. No money, gun, Babylon, we want freedom. Educate the youth, I know freedom. Raise your gun, no freedom. Black man, take a stand, now we all can unite. No money, gun, no Babylon, we want freedom. Black man, take a stand, no freedom. Black queen, raise your gun, no freedom. Educate the youth, now we all can unite. No money, gun, we want freedom. Black man, take a stand, freedom. Black queen, raise your gun, freedom. Educate the youth, now we all can unite. No money, gun, Babylon.
Black power, black power, black power, black power. Assalamu alaikum, Hotep, shalom, shalom. Peace to the gods and the earth, Israelitu, and all of the wonderful black greetings and salutations of the black nation. You are live on Black Power Radio to the King Samir Black Survival Show. We welcome you, black family. We say black power. Thank you for joining us tonight. We got a heavily informative show tonight because I'm going to drop the ballistics and we're going to kick some realistics tonight. So I want to thank the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. I want to give a strong black power salute to our national spokesman, Brother Sean Kweli, to our national chairman, of course, the big man at the top of the world right now, giving this cracker his due justice and serving black people to the fullest extent. Serving black people to the fullest extent. So I definitely must give a strong black power salute to our national chairman, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, to the National Central Committee of the new Black Panther Party. We honor you and we truly give thanks, black family, to all of the black organizations who are doing something. We truly give thanks for the work that you are doing. But today's topic, family, is a very serious topic. Very serious topic. Are we fit to survive white supremacy? Are we fit to survive white supremacy? Why aren't we fit? Since the question has been raised, what makes us fit? Are we mentally fit? Are we physically fit? Are we spiritually fit? Are we emotionally and psychologically fit? Because most of us in this day and time have lost our African minds. Completely lost our African minds. So are we fit to survive? Do we deserve? Do we deserve to survive? Because the old message says, God helps those who help themselves. Well, let's look at this. If God helps those who help themselves, what the hell is wrong with black people? If we say we are the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe, but we rely on the white man to help us. We don't help ourselves. We don't own a nothing. We don't own a hair grease bottle. We don't own no spring water company. We don't own no damn diapers. We don't own our own toilet paper. We don't own our own toothpaste. We don't own our own detergent. We don't own our own nothing. Not a blade of grass or a bike on a spoke nor a huff or a puff of damn smoke. We don't own nothing. Everything we say that we own, we bought it from the Koreans or the white man. So let's stop fooling ourselves here. What do we own as a people? No, not BET. We don't even own BET anymore. Huh? What do we own as black people? I'm not talking about individualism. As a nation or a race of people, what do we own? What can we honestly say we fought, bled, and died for besides goddamn voting and more integration with your enemy? How have we helped ourselves? We helped ourselves become more degenerate. We help ourselves commit more genocide on our own race of people. So let's be real here. How have we really helped our own race of people? The goddamn Chinese and the Koreans own African Pride Hair Grease Company. Did y'all know that? African Pride is not made by Africans. It's not owned by Africans. And let me take it a step further. Let me really drop a bomb on you. There's a company called African Imports that a lot of people are utilizing, and even myself, let's be real. But I was duped into this company from a brother who told me he owns the company, African Imports. So I signed in, thinking I'm dealing with something black, getting goods and merchandise and dashikis and African clothing and garbs and beautiful earrings and all this stuff. And I pay my money to the brother and, you know, get in the website. And the package came. And I opened up the damn book. Who do you think I saw as soon as I opened up the book? Do you honestly think I saw this black man who basically recruited me into the African Import Company? Hell no. When I opened up the book, there was a picture of a goddamn white man. And the only Africans that was in the book were those who were slave laboring to help this cracker and his damn African Import Company thrive. And the cracker wrote me a nice letter, thank you for coming into African Imports, and I said, damn it. Even our own African culture has been monopolized and colonized and imperialized by the white man. So, hell yeah, it pissed me off selling products from my country through a white man. That's one of the reasons, unfortunately, I had to let that go. I had to let that go. And I know a lot of y'all out there who are selling these products from African Imports. I feel you, you got to do what you got to do. No doubt. But somewhere we have to draw the line. I'll be damned if I help a damn imperialist in Africa, in my country. I'll be damned if I help a damn cracker settler get rich off of King Samir and I can't do that. That bothers me. That bothers the hell out of me. I just don't feel right morally. Because I don't give a damn what you think or say. The white man is the devil. Oh, slick snake. Slick little willy bastard. But many of our people have fallen victim to African imports. So we don't own a damn thing. That's the point I'm making. We don't own nothing. And while I was in Africa, the white man is all over Africa. The malls look just like the malls here in America.
and black people are behind the counters. Hello, how can I serve you today? Hello, may I take your order? And we have become comfortable. We have become comfortable with being the servant for our open enemy today. We have become psychologically comfortable with being couch potatoes and revolutionary cheerleaders when it comes to our freedom and independence. We don't own a damn thing. I remember the Bronner brothers. They made products, and I'm not sure if they still do, but if you're listening out there, I need somebody to let me know if Bronner Brothers are still in effect. A black-owned hair care product company, beauty skin products, all of that good stuff. But damn, we got the Koreans now in Africa in the gold mines, in the diamond mines. But we're slaving our behinds off every day for the goddamn chins. We're slaving our behinds off every single day for the Kowalskis and the Boskowitz and the Goldbergs and the DuPonts and the Rhodes descendants. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Old faggot King Queen Leopold descendants. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Black babies getting their arms cut off because they're not working fast enough for the white man in the rubber field. Huh? Oh, we're going to talk and kick some ballistics on the realistics tonight, black family. So welcome to the King's Amir Black Survival Show. The call-in number is 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. You should already have your pens and pads out. Huh? Because we're going to drop right into the facts. Are we fit to survive? Are we fit to survive? This is a question everybody should be asking themselves and asking your neighbor. Asking your comrade. Are we really fit to survive, man? These rappers got all this goddamn money. But I can tell you right now, not many of them, if any of them, have at least built an underground shelter. Huh? Oh, man. You heard what I said. An underground shelter. Or at least start your own underground shelter company. Because black people need to survive. Our survival is mandatory. Self-survival is mandatory. So you mean to tell me, to all you phony behind rappers out here, you couldn't at least start your own survival kit company? You can't make something of substance to offer the black community for emergency preparedness? You mean to tell me your grandma ain't suffering through a hurricane? Lights go out? Come on, black man, black woman. We have to start doing more and doing better. So to all you rappers out there, and notice I said rappers, I didn't say MCs. I said rappers. There is a difference. These Negroes ain't rapping nothing but the toilet paper around the white man's behind. That's what a rapper does. Wraps his lips around the white man and keeps them tied to his slave master. Cooning and buffooning. So I know one of you chumps can at least get out here and start your own black survival kit company. Huh? Damn it, at least create some oatmeal. If you can create your own liquor in the name of the white man, you can create some oatmeal. So y'all ain't ready for this teaching tonight. Huh? You can then create a Reebok sneaker line saying it's your own line, but the white man still owns it. Reebok still owns it, mind you. Damn it, if you can make some damn sneakers costing damn near $200 and $300, you can't start your own little rice farm for the black community? You can't spend $20,000 in the hood to feed black people on a consistent daily basis? Hell no. Won't be tolerated. Because we're going to have to start holding these punks accountable. Don't say you wrecked the hood, but your hood is starving, fool. Don't wreck your hood, but your hood look like a damn garbage dump, fool. Don't say you wrecked your hood and your grandma's still living in a one-bedroom efficiency with no air conditioning during the summertime, mind you. And all you got, and all you take grandma is a damn $10 store fan. But you gangster. You a damn thug. You a homo thug. Because real gangsters are held accountable for their responsibility. Real gangsters take action. Real gangsters take charge. Huh? General order number one, to take charge of my post and all black nation property in view. That's what gangsters do. But you Negroes still out here mouth pooping. Every time your lips open, just stink and stitch every damn way. So welcome to the Kinks I'm Here Black Survival Show. We're going to get right into it, black family. Let's jump over, because we have a lot going on in this time right now. And as I was building with y'all last week about COINTELPRO, oh, we're going to get into some more COINTELPRO tonight. And for those who are not aware, COINTELPRO is alive and well. We just had a few comrades who was locked down by the pigs under the COINTELPRO regime. So we're going to free our comrades immediately. And we're going to free all political prisoners. Immediately. Don't worry. Your time is coming, America. Your time is coming. Counterintelligence program of the United States Snakes of America. And I'm going to drop some of this on you, and then we're going to get into some survival tactics. Some survival techniques. After all, this is the King Samir Black Survival Show. So it's always going to be a 2 or 3 part class lesson. But we're definitely going to be dropping the ballistics. Goals and aims of counterintelligence program. For maximum effectiveness of the counterintelligence program and to prevent wasted effort, long-range goals are being set. Long-range goals, huh? So we know they got the short range, but they also have the long range. Number one, Pete Game here. Prevent the coalition of militant black nationalist groups. Prevent the coalition of militant black nationalist groups. In unity there is strength, a truism that is no less valid for all its trenchness. An effective coalition of black nationalist groups might be in the first step toward a real Mau Mau or Black Revolutionary Army in America, the beginning of a true Black Revolution. 2, prevent the rise of a Messiah who could unify and electrify. Unify and electrify. Why electrify? What does that mean? That means our unity is going to shock the hell out of the white men. That means our unity is going to shock the hell out of the world. Huh? Because when you get shot, what happens? What happens when you get shot? Your muscles tighten up. Huh? Your body goes into a whole nother level of state of being. And when you get electrocuted, you feel that voltage putting you in pause mode. Huh? Well, our unity will electrocute the hell out of white supremacy to put it on pause, black man. And Cracker, I'm praying that you're listening tonight. Begging you to listen tonight. Because black men, all we have to do is unify. And our slave master will be electrified and shocked as hell. So when he's in shock, he starts to tremble. He starts to think off course and move off course. He starts to panic. Run around like a damn cracker with no head or a chicken with no head. Huh? Don't know what to do with himself. Don't know which way to go. Don't know whether to poop or pee. Don't know whether to yell or duck. But I'm going to tell you this, black man. There's nothing greater than our unity. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said our unity is greater than any atomic bomb that can be made out of Princeton University. Our unity is greater than anything this cracker can make. He can't make nothing, nothing greater than the unity of the black god and the black goddess. Huh? So they're trying to prevent the rise of a Messiah. Huh? Oh, he didn't say Jesus Christ was coming back. They didn't say they was looking for Jesus. They said they were preventing the rise of a Messiah. Well, let me show you how stupid this cracker really is. While he's looking for one man, is really talking about the black man as a whole. We are the Messiah, black family. Our unity creates that Messiah. The unity of black people becomes the Messiah. So the COINTELPRO program is not just looking for one specific person. It's talking about the rise of black people. A Messiah who could unify and electrify the militant black nationalist movement. Oh, well, we can go down the list of divine greats. But there was one man who can unify and damn sure electrify. One man. And I don't care whether you like it or not, but Khalid Abdul Muhammad was that man, is that man, and will always be that man. Don't give a damn what you say. Khalid Abdul Muhammad is the man. And he's not dead, white man. He's not dead, provocateur. He's not dead. Because as long as there's breath in King Samir Shabazz, Khalid Muhammad's name will never die. As long as there's a new Black Panther Party for self-defense, damn it, Khalid Muhammad's name will always live. Don't give a damn about you, what you think and how you feel. Shut up, fool. Khalid Muhammad is the man. Because the rest of these puppet stringing Negroes have sold us out. Let's just be real about it. They sold us out. Well, I'm here to tell you on Black Power Radio tonight, King Samir ain't no sellout. King Samir is not going to sell you out. Because I learned from a divine history. And Dr. Khalid always told us, damn it, if you have the answer sheet in your hand, there is no way you should fail the test. Well, I got the answer sheet in my hand. And I've seen a long test of sellouts that failed the test. Well, I got the information on how not to fail that test. And for almost 30 years of my life, man, 30 years, I haven't failed the test yet. But it's a long way to go. Hell of a long way to go. Prevent the rise of a Messiah who could unify and electrify the militant Black nationalist movement. Malcolm X might have been such a Messiah. He is the martyr of the movement today. Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, Elijah Muhammad, all aspire to this position. But they say Elijah was less of a threat because of his age, but I'm going to tell you, I beg to differ. Because the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad still appears in this peck of wood today. Elijah Muhammad was a big threat to hell with his age. He is a man who raised a nation within a nation. Huh? He is a man who taught the white man is the devil. What the hell you going to say he ain't no threat because of his age? You know how arrogant this peck of wood is? Arrogant little bastard. Damn it, Elijah Muhammad was one of the, if not the biggest threat. Because you thought he was the Messiah. Huh? You thought Master Farad Muhammad was the Messiah, even though he's called the Mahdi. You thought Farrakhan was the Messiah. Huh? You thought Dr. York was the Messiah. You thought Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark was the Messiah. Hell, white man, you think you're the damn Messiah. King could be a very real contender for this position should he abandon his supposed obedience to white liberal doctrine and embrace Black nationalism. Carmichael has the necessary charisma to be a real threat in his way. 3, prevent violence on the part of Black nationalist groups. So this is why they send these boot-licking, butt-sucking punks like Al Sharpton and Messy Jesse into the Black community. This is why they create sissies like T.D. Fakes and all these other klepto-dollar Negroes and send them into the Black community and water you down. Water you down. And the more watered down you become, the less of a threat you become. The more water you get poured on you, the more softer you become. Huh? You become soft like soggy crackers. Wet bread. Mush. And a lot of us today have become mush. Melted water ice. Just soft as hell. Nothing but the cream, ain't no ice left. No sourness to you, black man, whatsoever. Just soft as hell. Prevent violence. How have they done that, man? They gave you a black president. That's number one. And a lot of you so-called revolutionary organizations are no longer even in existence after Barack Obama got in office. Not crazy as hell. So you become comfortable with white politics. As long as they gave you somebody black, it's okay with you. You ain't got to fight no more. To hell you don't. To hell you don't. You better wake up, clean up, and stand up, and hurry up. And hurry up. Prevent violence on the part of black nationalist groups. This is a primary of importance and is, of course, a goal of our investigative activity. It should be a goal of the counterintelligence program to pinpoint potential troublemakers. Oh, I guess that means me. And neutralize them before they exercise their potential for violence. Well, Mr. White Man, I've been violent a long time ago. And I'm not going to sit up here and advocate anyone to go out here and start committing violence on white people. Let's get that straight right now, devil, before you even go there. Way ahead of you. But I will say, black people, you better arm yourself or harm yourself. Defend yourself. Self-defense is a right. It is a God-given right. It's a black God-given right to defend yourself against white supremacy in any of its forms or fashions. So if you got to throw some blows and go toe-to-toe in self-defense, you are to do what is necessary to remove your enemy in self-defense. Violence is a black God-given right. Defense is a black God-given right, especially where you are a slave. Oh, my bad. Slaves don't have no rights. The hell we don't. Because this rebel slave is giving you your rights right now. And I'm going to always exercise my black God-given right against my open enemy in self-defense. Again, I am not advocating anyone to go out here and commit any acts of harm or violence on white people. That is not my job. That is not my job. And hell, half of y'all scared of the white man any damn way. Scared anyway. But their job is to pinpoint potential troublemakers and neutralize. That means squash you, crush you, kill you, assassinate you in Mexico. Oh, yes, I said it. You damn right I said it. Because most of you have fallen asleep and you've fallen for the tricks that this cracker has given you about our young comrade, Malcolm Shabazz. Oh, don't you believe it. The white man is a liar. You heard what I said. They're to neutralize us. Any potential terrorists, as they now classify us, domestic terrorists. You could be on Facebook talking about how you appreciate the work King Samir does. Don't you know under the new laws Obama just passed, you could now be classified as a terrorist just for saying you love King Samir and the work that King Samir puts in? Just for saying you support the new Black Panther Party, you could now be labeled as a terrorist. Oh, you better know this no good damn enemy of yours and ours. If you say you love Assata Shakur, you are now classified as a terrorist to the United States of America. So they plan to neutralize us before we exercise our potential for violence. Now, how hypocritical and contradictory is that? When this peckerwood has been the absolute most violent animal on the planet for 6,000 years, even in the thought process of creating the white man, Yakub's thought process was that of violence because he was dissatisfied. He was negative, and he thrived and created the white man off of his negative ideas. Huh? So, Cracker, you have a longer history of violence than anyone in the universe. But you want to stop the rise of black people. Such a hypocrite. Police brutality at an all-time high today. But you want to stop and neutralize so-called troublemakers against white supremacy. Such a hypocrite. Number four, prevent militant black nationalist groups and leaders from gaining respectability by discrediting them to three separate segments of the community. See, what y'all have to understand is the process that goes down before the actual assassination takes place. Huh? They assassinate your character first. They belittle you. They discredit you. They make the people turn against you. So when they come in to take you out, there is no revolting. There is no repercussions from the people. Why? Because the people now hate your guts. Because of the improper propaganda your enemy has displayed amongst you before they come to kill you. Huh? Let's look at it here. The goal of discrediting black nationalist groups must be handled tactically in three ways. You must be discredit those groups and individuals to first the responsible Negro community. Second, they must be discredited to the white community. Well, to black, that ain't nothing new. Both the responsible community and to the liberals who have vestiges of sympathy for black militant nationalist groups simply because they're Negroes. Third, these groups or individuals must be discredited in the eyes of Negro radicals and militants and the followers of the movement. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? These groups must be discredited in the eyes of Negro radicals and the followers of the movement. So when you got niggers, and I don't normally use this word, but damn it, I'm going to say it. When you got niggers in your organization who's always dropping little improper propaganda jewels, these are your provocateurs. Huh? Sisters. When you're in a relationship with a brother in the movement and your relationship don't go so well and the first damn thing you do is get the hell on Facebook and start talking about how fake this man is, how this and how that he is, how ungodly he is. Damn it, you're playing the role of a goddamn agent, and you need to stop it. Because these are the kind of works that goes down and went down on Malcolm. These are the kind of works that went down on Khalid Muhammad. These are the kind of works that went down on Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Danny Lou Hamer. Damn it, I can keep going on and on and on. But stop the Negro stuff. Because you're playing right into the hands of COINTELPRO. So you must be discredited in the eyes of our own comrades. And you've got these Negroes in your organizations always mouth-booting, always got something negative to say, always trying to keep white supremacy going in the black nationalist movement. Damn it, you're a provocateur. And some of y'all actually too stupid to be a provocateur. You just do provocateur stuff. But you better stop playing into the role of the white man and COINTELPRO. Publicity about violent tendencies and radical statements merely enhances black nationalists to the last group it adds, respectively, in a different way. A final goal should be to prevent the long-range growth of militant black organizations, especially among the youth. So they even discredit you amongst the youth now. Specific tactics to prevent these groups from converting young people must be developed. They're not talking about stopping the rise of a messiah. They're talking about stopping the rise of the black messiah as a nation of people, because now they don't even want the youth to follow you. They want everybody to hate your guts, so when they come to kill you, there's no revolutionary war. There's no civil war. There's no war. Hell, it ain't even a march. Some of y'all be like, oh, well, that's what he get. Praise the Lord. He crazy as hell. COINTELPRO is alive and well. Targets. The primary targets of the counterintelligence program. Black nationalist hate groups, whatever that is, should be the most violent and radical groups and their leaders. We should emphasize those leaders and organizations that are nationwide in scope and are most capable of disrupting this country. These target members and followers of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the SCLC, RAM, Nation of Islam, with emphasis added, the Black Panther Party of the 60s, the New Black Panther Party, UNIA, Republic of New Africa, huh? Black Power Cartel, huh? UFS, Guerrilla Republic, MOVE. Whatever the name of your organization is, guess what? You're on this list, buddy. If you're talking about freedom and independence for black people, your name is on the counterintelligence program list. So stop walking around here acting like you're so damn high and mighty, like your name ain't on the counterintelligence program list. Fool. The call-in number is 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. I want you to call in with your questions and comments. We're almost at the top of the hour, and we're going to take a small black revolutionary break, and we'll be right back with you. We're going to tap these phone lines for a minute. I don't mean that literally, but we're going to come to the phone lines and take some calls, And then we're going to get into some black survival tactics for class session number two. So get your pens and pads ready. You need to sharpen your pencil. Get another piece of paper. Do what you got to do. Get a drink of water. Make it happen. Because this next segment, some serious ballistics here. But I just wanted to touch and give you a reminder of COINTELPRO. Because the new Black Panther Party is under attack right at this very hour. We're at war right at this very hour. So I had to bring something pertinent to you, something vital to you, just to give you a little reminder on who you're really dealing with and the nature of who we're really dealing with. These crackers don't give a damn about us. So what you quickly need to do is realize that and get that cracker chip off your shoulder. Huh? Get that filet mignon out your lips. Acting like you so white and proper. We'll be right back with you.
Give me 24 hours.
In Sudan.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Jamaica.
Give me 24 hours.
In Haiti.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Kenya.
Give me 24 hours.
In the Congo.
Get out of town by Sunday.
North Carolina.
Give me 24 hours.
In Georgia.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Mississippi.
Give me 24 hours.
In Louisiana.
Get out of town by Sunday.
In Alabama.
Give me 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by Sunday. I said, if they want to get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the baby, we kill the blind, we kill the cripple, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggot, we kill the lesbian. I said, God damn it, we can kill them all. From two white babies, because goddammit, they're gonna grow up one day to rule your babies. Kill them now. Why kill the women in South Africa? I said kill the women because the women are the military manufacturing center. And every 9 months they make out on their back, and reinforcement rolls out from between their legs. So shut down the military manufacturing center by killing the white woman. Why kill the elder crackers? How the hell you think they got old? They got old, especially killing black people. I said, kill them all, God, kill them all, come on, God, God. Kill them all. Kill them back, kill them left. And after you kill them all, I said, that day about Mandela to let you know what he really knows about me, don't know a damn thing. That's a little good to the goddamn grave. Get out of town by Sunday.
Black the party. And be
out of town by
Sunday. Black Power. Black Power. New Black Panther Party. NBT. Black Power. In Johannesburg. In Libya. Syria. Congo. Nigeria. Black Panther Party. NBTP. Black Power.
I'm building black. bomb is ever hitting me. So first time, take out your target.
It's not people talk, it sounds like a radio.
You said it's a word.
And then you might have to go over it. All right, my bad. Pardon me, Black family. I had some technical difficulties going on over here. Man, let's go back up to 562-607, area code 562-607. You're live.
Black Power, Black God, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's calling?
This is Mahogany X, Black Riders. I was just listening to you, and you on point, brother, about us being not ready, because every day I go out and I'm trying to start this Miami chapter, the people out here are scared. And I'm telling you, because they're so afraid of seeing the fight the power or the pig, calling the police the pig and everything. And I'm telling you, them, if you can go out here and sell drugs every day and not be afraid to go to jail, why would you be afraid to call the pig of what he is, you know? But another reason why we're not ready, because we have comrades backbiting and gossiping behind other comrades' back, you know. We're not even ready for that. Once we get ready and stop all of this backbiting and COINTELPRO stuff, we'll be ready. I mean, we have all of these black athletes out here, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, all of these people who are marrying to these white bunnies, snow bunnies, and they're giving these snow bunnies more money than they give it into their own black community. It's like they don't even care, you know. It's like they don't care about their own. Everybody is out for themselves. That's how it is with our people. We always out for ourselves and not for our own people. It infuriates me. And once we start unifying together as we were in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s and we were struggling, you've noticed that our people back in the day were more unified. We were more close-knit. But when the white man started giving them money and giving them little welfare and little penny-ante jobs and trickles of dimes and quarters and nickels, they started feeling, okay, well, I already got this. And then you had the haves against the have-nots with black people. And the haves didn't give a damn about the have-nots, but we were all black people together. It was just the haves against the have-nots, and that's what's going on right now. The haves against the have-nots. The haves don't give a damn about the have-nots unless, you know, until a big tragedy happened. And I hate to say this, but in order for our black people to come, all of our black people to get unified again, it's going to have to be something very terrible. It's going to have to happen to all of us. Like a big major tragedy is going to have to happen in order for the haves to open up their eyes and realize that they are black too, and they can't fall down off that pedestal. They can fall down off that rich mountain that they're on and come right down to the valley with the poor people, you know. And I mean, with Rodney King, I mean, I've noticed that with Rodney King riots, I've noticed that in L.A. a lot of people were unified. The Bloods and Crips was unified again, but as soon as everything died down, they forgot about it. Just like with this Trayvon Martin, I'm down here in Miami right now. I can't find not one damn organization. I went to Power U. They're not going up there for the trial. I can't find no black people that's going up there to fight for our my brother's parents, you know, to be on their side. But I'm going. I'm doing the best I can to go by myself if I can't find no one else to go with. But that's what our problem is. We're disunified. We're disconnected. We're not even, it's like we don't even care about each other no more. And that and it infuriates me and it hurts me because I have to go out here and see the ignorance every day.
Right. I hate to cut your wisdom, but we got a lot of callers tonight. But you definitely said some very hardcore information, Queen, seriously. You know, and that's the whole process of where we at right now. So we just have to do what we have to do so we can be able to survive this thing, you know. And that's why I'm bringing the information, Queen, that I'm bringing.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
So we definitely thanks for your call and keep in contact, all right?
I will.
All right,
power
Queen,
to the people.
Give thanks. Power to the people. All right. Let's go to 973-210. 973-210. You are live on Black Power Radio, the King Samir Black Survival Show.
Black Power.
Black Power, you're live, sir. What's happening?
It's Brother Bilal, League of Amazing Defense. Black man, you're keeping it down, black man. You know, the first thing I think we should do, brother, you got a lot of these, you know, brothers who joined the military, and, you know, starting them coming home, they look for the handout from the white man, when we should take the military training, brother, and train us to how to defend ourselves, how to do, to survive out here in this cracker town. So we've taken all this military, you know, training, and they give you this beautiful picture of the Marine, the Army, the Armed Guard, and all this shit. And then you think you're going to get all the good stuff. And then when you get here with one leg or one arm, then they're going to throw your ass online to try to get Social Security. So while you're waiting to get all that, you're fighting for the crackers. And when you get back, he don't got nothing for you but another broken-ass problem. Now you out here with a sign in New York where I get came from, and they hold a sign to my help feed me. Well, you should have known that when you took your ass over there to fight for them crackers. Now they ain't in here doing shit for you. Left your ass on the side of the street holding a damn sign. So we need to learn to bring that military attitude and training that they gave you, you understand, and train us. Train us how to defend ourselves. Train us. We need more black ancestors that have the ability, technology ability, that know how to load and lock and load one bullet, one checkmate. We need that. But y'all Uncle Tom Negroes sit there and take that same ass shit and go back 4 years more for the government, another 8 years for the government. And they still sticking in your ass because you scared to stick up.
Right. Yes, sir. I absolutely agree. 1,000,000%, black man. We need to, for those who are getting these trainings from your enemy, it is your responsibility. You are held accountable for bringing that black to the hood. That's what the spook who sat by the door was all about, getting that training, coming black to the hood and controlling and defending the hood, man. So, Brother Bilal, we definitely give thanks for your call, Conrad.
Yes, sir.
Listen in. All right, let's go to 215.
Area code 215-982-0665. 215-982. You're live, King Samir, Black Survival Show, Black Power. All right. 215 is just listening in. Let's go back to 619-708. Area code 619-708. You are live on Black Power Radio. All right, guess you're just listening in. Let's try this number one more again. 304-365. Area code 304-365. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Peace. Hotep, Brother King Samir. This is Brother John, Kemet Shabazz in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Hey, Blackhead, what's happening?
All right. Yeah, I wanted to comment on that on the Black Panther, on the new Black Panther Party hip hop ministry. I've been listening to SPD. You on there? You got a Chairman on there, Devon, a lot of other people on there. That's fire, man. I got to give you props on that, right? I don't know. How can I get a CD on there? What I gotta do to get that CD?
Go to bangout.ning.com.
Yes, sir.
And you should be able to. I think it's a link on there where you could boom hit the link, and you should be able to buy the CD by download. Or I believe it's direct CD. If not direct CD, I know it's available to download.
Yeah, I know it's available to download, and that's what I've been doing with it. But I was wondering if there was an actual CD made that was out.
Yes, sir, it is. Send me your info, and I'll make sure you get it.
Yes, sir, I'll make sure I hit you. Appreciate the work you're doing.
Hey, I appreciate you, Black, indeed. All right, Black Family's Brother Kimmick, my man, 50 grand, ain't heard from him in a while, but good to hear he's still around, putting in work. All right, let's drop down here to 313, area code 313-205, area code 313-205, you're live on the King Samir Black Survival Show, Black Power. All right, guess they're just listening in. And let's see. 619-708-619-708. You are live on the King Samir Black Survival Show, Black Power. All right, just listening. All right, Black Family. Well, we're going to hold the rest of the calls just for a hot second because I definitely want to get in to some very pertinent information. Very, very pertinent information. Give me one hot second, Black Family. Let me take a small break here. It seems we're trying to have some technical difficulties, and I'm really not feeling this right now. So give me one hot second, and we'll be right back with you.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless. against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what our revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. So I cite these various revolutions, brothers and sisters, to show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn-the-other-cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. Only kind of revolution that's nonviolent is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunch counter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated...
Black power, black power, black power. All right, we're black, we're black. Just having a few technical difficulties here. And, hey, the enemy is doing his job tonight. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I'm not too mad at you, Peckerwood. You're doing what you're supposed to do, doing what you were created to do, and that is to be nothing more than a devil. So we want to jump right into our class on survival. All of this is relevant to our survival. The COINTELPRO, all the information I'm bringing to you on the King Samir Black Survival Show is relevant to our survival. So sometimes, family, it may come from a spiritual aspect. It may, last week I've touched on, I built from the lesson. You know what I'm saying? So we can get out, know ourselves before we talking about all this survival and survival planning and survival kits and all that. Hell, you got to know yourself. You have to know who you are as an individual and as a race of people. So we're going to be, Black Survival is not just dealing with, you know, how to store your food and all that. Yes, that's a major part of it. But this Black Survival is coming 360 degrees from all different aspects of our lives, man, that we need to wake up, clean up, and stand up in. So get your pens and pads ready. Because we've been talking a lot about survival kits and all that kind of stuff. Well, let me drop something on you about the survival kits, all right? So this is the second part of the class session when we get into the Black Survival degree. The environment is the key to the types of items you will need in your survival kit. For instance, if you're in a suburban area or a wooded area, certain equipment you're going to need in that particular area where you may not need if you're in an urban area. You see what I'm saying? So you got to know, you got to, you know, look at your area that you're in and be able to quickly disseminate or quickly assess the equipment that you're going to need for that particular area. All right? Then how much equipment you put in your kit will depend on how you will carry your kit. A kit carried on your body will have to be smaller than one carried in a vehicle, of course. Always layer your survival kit and body load-bearing vest or equipment on a platform, rucksack, or vehicle, or aircraft. Keep the most important items on your body. For example, your map, your compass should always be on your body, as should your basic life-sustaining items, your knife, your lighter, your water, stuff like that. Carry less important items in your bag. Place bulky items in the rucksack. In preparing your survival kit, select items that are multi-purpose. They have the multi-purpose knives where they got 20 damn different tools on the knife and all that kind of stuff. Make sure it's compact, lightweight, and durable, and most importantly, functional. And an item is not good if it looks great, but doesn't know what to do or what it was designed for. Items should complement each other from layer to layer. A signal mirror in your pocket can be backed up by pin flares in your LBE and a signal panel in your rucksack. A lighter in your uniform can be augmented by a magnesium bar. That's one of the little light bars, the glow-in-the-dark bars, okay? An additional dry tinder in your rucksack. Your survival kit need not to elaborate. You only need functional items that will meet your needs. You don't need iPads and MP3 players and all that kind of stuff, okay? So different types of casings and boxes and stuff you want to pack your stuff in. You only need functional items that will meet your needs and a case to hold the items. For the case, you might want to use a bandage box, a soap dish, tobacco tin, or first aid case, or ammunition pouch, or any other suitable case. But your case should be water repellent or waterproof, easy to carry or attach to your body, and suitable to accept various size components, and please make sure it's durable. Your survival kit should be broken down into the following categories. Listen carefully. Water, fire, shelter, food, medical, signal, and miscellaneous. Each category should contain items that allow you to sustain your basic needs. For example, water. You should have items that allow you to scoop up, draw up, soak up, or suck up water. Something to gather rainwater, condensation, or perspiration. Something to transport water, and something to purify or filter the water. Some examples of each category are as follows. Water, purification tablets, non-lubricated condoms for carrying water. I told you, I'm giving you some real ballistics tonight. We're talking our survival here. Non-lubricated condoms for carrying water. Bleach. A few drops for every gallon. 10 drops for every gallon of water. 5 to 10 drops, I would say. Drop, just a little dab, not a whole pour, none of that. You no longer have water. Povidone or iodine drops. Sponges. Small plastic or rubber tubing. Collapsible canteens or water bags. And they make bags that you can actually tie in to your bathtub and fill up your fill up the bags, and it'll actually be the size of your bathtub. Okay? They're called tub bags. You just connect it to your tub, fill it up, and you got a tub of water. Or you could just fill up your tub with water. You understand what I mean? Put a purification tablet in it if necessary. You may want to do that for longer lasting effects of the water. All right? Fire. Lighters, of course. A metal match, waterproof matches are very important. Waterproof matches. Make sure you stock lighters and waterproof matches. Very important. Magnesium bars, candles, stock up on candles. I cannot stress candles enough. Okay? I don't care if you got 50 million candles. Buy some more. Magnifying lenses. They do start fires. You take your magnifying lens and a leaf. With the ray of the sun on that leaf, through your lens, start your fire. All right? You can actually use steel wool and a battery to start fire. the Brillo pad, without all that soap and all that crazy stuff on it. Buy you some regular steel wool and a 9-volt battery, or a regular battery, more specifically a 9-volt battery. Take your battery, rub it over your steel wool, you'll see the sparks. Rub it over the steel wool, starts a fire. Shelter. A 550 parachute cord, a large knife, machete or hatchet, poncho, space blanket, hammock, mosquito net, a wire saw, tent. You can actually use the canopy covering, okay, and build you a nice shelter. Plastic, durable plastic, and build you a nice shelter. You can take sticks and a tremendous amount of leaves with some rope or wire and build you a shelter out of leaves. And actually build you a little a pit of fire inside of your shelter made from leaves. But very soon, the new Black Panther Party is going to be putting out a DVD, a Black Survival DVD, where we are actually out showing you how to do these different things. A full tutorial on what to do for Black survival if you're out in the woods, if you're in an urban area, suburban area, jungle area. We're going to have all types of situations. Martial arts, self-defense. Man, it's going to be awesome. So we're in the works of that right now. So we're not just wasting our time, man. We're going to save you, whether you like us or not. So you might as well get used to it, because we love the hell out of you so much, damn it, we're going to save your life. Food. You're going to need a knife, snare wire, fish hooks, fish and snare line, bouillon cubes, a soup packet, high-energy food bars, granola bars, aluminum foil, freezer bags, and all types of stuff. You're going to need equipment to go hunting. You understand? Hunting knives and different things you may need for hunting. Different cooking knives and cooking utensils, cooking pans. You might not even need a cooking pan, because I can show you how to take a log and turn this log into a bowl. Oh, we're going to teach you how to survive, Black family. We're going to teach you how to survive. Huh? We're going to teach you how to start a fire out of wood. A Canadian fire pit. An African fire pit. We're going to show you these things. We're going to teach these to you on the Black Survival Show. That's what this is all about. So know now, when you listen to the King Samir Black Survival Show, you're going to be taught how to survive. Medical. Oxytetracycline tablets to treat diarrhea or infection. Surgical blades or surgical preparation knives, butterfly sutures, lip balm, safety pins, sutures, anti-diarrheal medication, all types of stuff. Malarial medication, doxycycline. It's for malaria, doxycycline. Broad-spectrum antibiotics, Rocephin and Zithromax. Broad-spectrum topical ointments, antibiotics, antifungal ointments, anti-inflammatory ointments, ibuprofen, gauzes, soaps, sanitizers, band-aids, sutures for the stitching, and all kinds of stuff. But the medical items, listen carefully, may take up at least 50% of your survival kit. So don't panic. Don't think you bought too much stuff. The medical stuff is going to take up a lot of room. Signals, signaling mirror, a strobe light, pin flares, whistle, an African flag, an RBG flag, pilot scarf or a bandana, a gang flag, red, blue, black, yellow, gold, bright orange silk scarf, glint tape, flashlight, laser pointer, solar blanket. These are just some of the things you may need. miscellaneous stuff, a wrist compass, needle and thread, some money, extra eyeglasses, extra medication, knife sharpener, cork, camouflage stick, survival manual, backpacks. You understand? These are some of the things you may want to add to your miscellaneous stuff. And you got to top off your survival kit with a weapon, long range or short range, or both. Depends on you. You want to carry your M16, your shotgun on your back, and your 45 on your hip? Make it happen, Captain. But be prepared. Don't get caught out there. To survive, you're going to need water and food. You must also have and apply high personal hygiene standards. Hygiene. Soap. Toilet papers. Toiletries. A portable toilet. Or you can make your toilet. You dig a hole or dig a pit away from where you're going to be sleeping. Away from where you're going to be resting your head, you build a pit, and that's your toilet. You got a pile of dirt, an extra pile of dirt to cover up your feces or whatever every time you go to the bathroom. If you can't afford, you know, this new survival stuff this crack is putting out. You can buy a toilet. You can buy a shower, a portable shower now, with the shower curtain and all that kind of stuff now. So the cracker is making a lot of stuff readily available to us. But you can either liberate it or, you know, decide however you want to get it, make it happen. Requirements for the maintenance of your health. Water. Your body loses water through normal body process, sweating, urinating, and defecating. During average daily exertion when the atmospheric temperature is 20 degrees Celsius, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, the average adult loses and therefore requires 2 to 3 liters of water daily. So you lose 2 to 3 liters a day, and you're required to put that back in because our body is made of 75% or 3 quarters water anyway. So other factors such as heat exposure, cold exposure, intense activity, high altitude burns or illness can cause your body to lose more water. So you must replace this water in your body. Dehydration results from inadequate replacement of body fluids. Dehydration results from inadequate replacement of body fluids. Smoking causes dehydration. So for you smokers, make sure you put that body fluids back into your body. It decreases your efficiency, and if you're injured, it increases your susceptibility to severe shock. So if you're injured and dehydrated, you got a serious problem now. Okay? Consider the following results of body fluid loss. A 5% loss results in thirst, irritability, nausea, and weakness. Now, that's 5% body loss. Body water loss results in thirst, irritability, nausea, and weakness. A 10% loss results in dizziness, headache, inability to walk, and a tingling sensation in the limbs. That's 10% loss of water in our body. Dizziness, headache, inability to walk, and a tingling sensation in the limbs. A 15% loss results in dim vision, painful urination, swollen tongue, deafness, and a numb feeling in the skin. A loss greater than 15%, this is during dehydration now, a loss greater than 15% may actually result into total death. The most common signs and symptoms of dehydration are dark urine with a very strong odor, low urine output, dark sunken eyes, fatigue, emotional instability, loss of skin elasticity, delayed capillary refill in fingernail beds, trench line down the center of your tongue, the real white line down the center of your tongue, look like you've been licking ash. I didn't say the other word. I said A-S-H. And thirst. Last on the list because you're already 2% hydrated by the time you crave fluids. So when you start getting thirsty, your body is already telling you, okay, we're at 2% dehydration. You can either handle that now, or you could be a fool and wait till you get to 15% and we could tear you up. What you going to do? You should replace the water as you lose it. Trying to make up a deficit is difficult in a survival situation, and thirst is not a sign of how much water you need. Most people cannot comfortably drink water, drink more than 1 liter of water at a time. So even when you're not thirsty, drink small amounts of water at regular intervals each hour to prevent dehydration. If you're under physical and mental stress or subject to severe conditions, increase your water intake. Drink enough liquids to maintain a urine output of at least 0.5 liters every 24 hours. In any situation where food intake is low, drink 6 to 8 liters of water per day. In an extreme climate, especially an arid one, the average person can lose 2.5 to 3.5 liters of water per hour. So in this type of climate, you should drink 8 to 12 ounces of water every 30 minutes. It is better to regulate water loss through work or rest cycles because overhydration can occur if water intake exceeds 1.5 quarts per hour. Overhydration can cause low serum sodium levels, resulting in cerebral and pulmonary edema, which can lead to death. So we got to be very mindful, family. We have to be very mindful. And I know sometimes we think we super soldier. Be out in the hot sun, Panther, with all our black on and tactical vest, bulletproof vest, uniform, our BDU shirt, T-shirt under the bulletproof vest so we won't be sweating and the vest be sticking to our body and making us all funky, smelling like wet baby milk and all kinds of stuff. But we got to drink and maintain our hydration. Because I've literally seen people fall out on posts. Real talk. Just collapse on posts. Just drop. Boom. Why? Because they had not eaten, let alone had anything to drink, because it's super hot outside. Hell, we down south, it's damn near 105 degrees, nothing but sun. We're in all uniform, all black, and you ain't had nothing to drink, thinking you're going to be okay. Wrong answer. That's why you're behind, pass out. And be lucky you didn't die out there. Trying to be super soldier. We don't need super soldiers. We need thinking soldiers. We need soldiers who's going to be alive, okay? With the loss of water, there's also a loss of electrolytes or body salts. The average diet can usually keep up with these losses, but in extreme situation or illness, additional sources need to be provided. You should maintain an intake of carbohydrates or other necessary electrolytes. Starches and stuff like that. Of all the physical problems encountered in a survival situation, the loss of water is the most preventable. The following are basic guidelines for the prevention of dehydration. Always drink water when eating. I know a lot of us get into the juice and the sodas and the Hennessy and the Irken Jerk and the, or as they say, what do they say, Easy Jesus, the E&J and all the liquor and all that. Water is best when eating. Water is used and most consumed as a part of the digestion process and can lead to dehydration. acclimatized. The body performs more effectively in extreme conditions when acclimatized. Conserve sweat, not water. Limit sweat-producing activities, but drink water. Ration your water. Until you find a suitable source, ration your sweat, not your water. Limit your activity and heat gain or loss. You can estimate fluid loss by several means. A field dressing holds about 0.25 liters or a quarter of a canteen of fluid. A soaked T-shirt holds up to 0.5 to 7.75 liters. You can also use the pulse and breathing rate to estimate fluid loss. Well, that's a whole nother science right there. But we're going to stop right there because we're almost at the top of the hour. And next week, we will be getting into food, how to properly store our food, the necessity of food, the importance, and how to get food if necessary. Oh, and we're going to go there. We're going to go there. So make sure you have your pens and your pads ready. Because next week we'll be building on the necessity of food for our survival. Even though you can live several weeks without food, you're still going to need something to stay healthy. Okay? Seriously. I remember back when I was in the Nation of Islam, and I was on a very strict diet. Maybe that's why I'm just so small right now. But honestly, Black family, what I'm about to tell you is very serious. I was following Minister Farrakhan while he was doing the How to Eat to Live program, very extreme. So he started eating one meal every other day. So I was already eating one meal a day. So I started my meal, one meal every other day. I worked that for a while, got real comfortable with that, handled that with no problem. So now I started eating one meal every 3 days. One meal every 3 days with a little water in between, little fruit juice, real fruit juice. I mean, I took the fruit, put it in the blender and all that kind of stuff myself. Fruit juice. Then I broke myself down. Check it out. To one meal every 5 days. One meal every 5 days. I'm talking serious discipline here, family. Real rap. But I'm not done yet. Because I took it a step further. One meal every 7 days. So I had myself down to a science. Only day I ate was Sunday. So every Sunday would be my breakfast. And I couldn't even eat a whole meal by the time I disciplined myself down to that point because my stomach has shrunk so much back to its original state, because your stomach is not supposed to be bigger than the back of your fist. Did you know that? So, what would I eat? And I know a lot of y'all want to know, well, what the hell did you eat? We'll talk, family. My meal every Sunday was a fruit salad. Word of God. Just a fruit salad. I didn't have chicken and, you know, vegetables and, you know, I didn't do the full course meal. Let me go all out because I eat all week. Let me just, you know, act like I'm just a savage. No. My meal was a fruit salad. And word is bond, I lied to you not, I had the itis after I ate that fruit salad. Never fail. So my stomach let me know it's back to its original state. My urine was clearer than spring water. Why? Because I broke my body down and it started removing all of the toxins naturally because I wasn't putting any toxins in my body from all this food, from all this processed, damn, chemicalized, dry, dirty socks food we eating. My body was no longer getting that. So it had nothing else to do but start removing what was in it. And let me drop this on you before we take any more calls for the night. Did you know you can honestly drink your urine in survival times? Now let me clarify something here. I'm not talking about that stuff you dropping in the toilet today. That's bomb making stuff. Okay? But when you purify your body, when you start fasting and cleansing your body is going to naturally remove the toxins and go back to its original purified state again. So your urine becomes purified again. Now it's at the point of being able to drink if you're in a situation that, hell, you need to drink that. But this stuff we shooting out today, I beg to differ on that one, Flair. Clean out your bodies. We have to get healthy, man. Stop eating all this damn pig feet with Penelope on Sunday after church and get back on that How to Eat to Live program. Got 1 minute. And I just want to thank all the callers for calling in. I want to thank everyone for calling in tonight. Let me take this one last call.
You need to be like, how bad is it?
9977, you're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Nobody wants to join us.
When the zombie comes, or whoever that fucking comes.
9977, you're live.
I didn't want to do that. So finally, he was like, fuck it, if there's a gap.
All right. Well, Black family, tune in next week. Monday night, 8 p.m., Black Power Radio. Tune in every Wednesday night to the King Samir Black Survival Show right here. Area code 646-478-4447 is the call-in number. Tune in next week. We always got a black lined up for you. Israel A2.